ESPN 97.5 KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station,
which can cause cramping and diarrhea.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects, the day after the Super Bowl, and after all the excitement that you could hardly stand, at least you know that the energy level would be much higher here on the show today. Barry's here, Nick's here, I'm here, all ready to get into it, pop the top on a Monday full of fun after the Super Bowl. Fellas, what's going on?
What up, what up, what up? No doubt there's going to be more energy on this show.
I heard, I saw people tweeting at halftime.
Uh-huh.
Is there a good soccer game on right now where I might be able to see some scoring? I mean, it was just awful if you're just a casual fan.
Speaking of that, I saw Glenn Davis post on his Facebook wall.
Yeah.
That the Super Bowl drew less people than the World Cup in the same stadium. Go figure. I wonder if it's how they set it up, though.
In the same stadium? It hasn't been around that long.
73,000 in the 2018 World Cup to 70,000 for the Super Bowl. So take that, fake
football. It was around in 2018, that new Mercedes Stadium.
Yeah, I didn't think that the Mercedes-Benz Dome was open.
Just take it up with Glenn.
I will. I will, because, you know, anything that's got soccer involved in it, he's willing to discuss.
That's all I read. Did y'all pick out? Huh?
I did, for sure. I had a bunch of food. A lot of food.
How much food?
Wangs. A lot of wangs.
A lot of wangs.
Wangs.
Lost count.
Did you pick out, Joseph?
Saturday night I did. So I was trying, I kept it on the straight and narrow for the Super Bowl.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. But Saturday night, believe me, I got it done.
What was the special occasion?
Saturday night.
Saturday night, just feeling all right. You know what sucks? I felt bad yesterday. I was sick most of the day.
Really?
I didn't eat my normal amounts of food.
So you didn't eat, you didn't get to eat all the food that you would like to enjoy watching a Super Bowl.
This is what I had during, as the game started and beyond. I had a very small bowl of queso with chips.
Mm-hmm.
Not much. I mean, you know.
My peoples would be proud of you.
Very small. Yeah. And then at around halftime, I had two sliders and a very small bowl of Frito pie. That was it. That's all I ate all day.
That's some weak ass stuff
right
there.
But I felt horrible. Like, my wife was like, you know, do you know, because I had a headache and I just felt sick and I was trying to drink it off and that didn't help.
Yeah, that's supposed to definitely drink water. Yeah.
You know what's crazy is I feel better today. Took some cheers after the whole drinking off thing. I feel better today than I did yesterday after
Something's
the drinking.
Going around. Because Lisa feels like crap right now. And she had a little, she felt it going. And Taylor's an actor. But Taylor's like, Taylor's constantly going, you know, Daddy, my stomach hurts. Daddy, don't feel good. I go, well, go poop. And go when poop. She comes back, I go, you feel better? She goes, yeah. I go, well, there you go. But yeah, she had said that she had it going on too. But I mean, I think there's something going around.
Is there?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, it sucked. And it was, I was like, well, at least I have the Super Bowl. That sucked too.
God, Josh is over there on the sports map side just talking about what a great game it was. I go, dude,
what?
Even as a defensive football aficionado, if that's what you are, you can't be excited about what we just witnessed.
No, you just witnessed. This is the equivalent of a soccer game. If there were half points, this was 2-1/2, basically.
It was terrible.
I mean, this was the equivalent. There was, you know, there was no scoring in this game. There was,
and that's exactly time, what you expect from the Rams.
You expect scoring.
Would they average like 30 points a game in the regular season? I know the postseason is different.
Second highest scoring team in the league.
And I believe the Patriots were fifth.
Yep.
So you did not expect a 13-3, 16 points total, just a god-awful punt fest. When my wife goes, this sucks.
Like,
I was like, oh boy.
And you know what? The commercials even suck.
Everything sucks.
Everything about it just came down like four levels. It's like it used to be where I don't want to get up because, man, I'm going to miss some commercials when I run to the bathroom or grab some food and come back. I'll wait. And then I waited for that?
Yeah, I'd go pee. My wife would be like, you want me to pause the commercials? Nope, don't care. They sucked. There was a handful of good commercials. There was a handful.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I said. I said there's probably two or three that I can remember.
Did you have a favorite? Any of you have a favorite?
I have a couple.
Okay, what was your couple?
So my one for just cameos and action and everything else was actually the NFL.
The 100?
NFL, the 100.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And I'm telling you, it came out of nowhere. I didn't expect it, but the Anthony Lynn commercial when he...
Oh, yeah, that made you...
That was pretty awesome.
The one that got me was the Microsoft Adaptive Controller. Did you see that one?
I'm sure I did.
I missed that.
Refresh my memory.
I was like, who's chopping onions in here? It's this commercial that Microsoft has about video games, and they have real families with real kids, and these kids all have issues like deformities or whatever with their hands or certain syndromes that didn't allow them, that doesn't give them the motor function that they would like a normal child would have.
Right.
And it was all about these adaptive controllers for the video games that these kids can use. That once they're playing the game, they're just like everybody else. And whoo, boy, it was an awesome commercial. But boy, it got you in the feels for sure.
I don't have a favorite, but there was a couple. I did like the devour frozen food.
That was
commercial.
Pretty funny.
There was a sexual innuendo. Oh, they leaked before it. The Super Bowl?
Yeah, they leaked it to say that like it was because it was basically about porn. Like an addiction to porn, but an addiction to fast food.
Right.
I was impressed with the M&M's. The fact that there's a bar. There's an M&M's chocolate bar, which I thought, oh, yes.
And I
like that.
I said to Lisa, that was Christina Applegate.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, it was. I go, I wonder how many people had no idea that that was the chick from Married with Children.
Yeah. She's a lot older.
All grown up now.
I thought the Pepsi, you know how you go to like certain places and you'd be like, can I just get a Diet Coke? I'm like, is Pepsi okay? They took that and made a commercial off of it, which I thought was pretty funny, actually, with Little John and everything. And then the only other two things that I wrote down was the new Audi A6 or whatever that's coming out in like 2025. Yeah. Holy cow.
It looks badass.
That looked badass. And then Eat Like Andy. Did you see that?
A lot of people thought
that
was funny.
What the hell was that?
But I didn't find it.
It was garbage.
My
was
friend
awful.
Was cracking up.
Garbage.
Like, dying laughing. Apparently, Raheel likes it.
Your friend's
it
a dumbass.
Can someone explain it
and
to
Raheel
to
is
us
too,
then?
If you liked it.
Sam could not stop laughing. My buddy Sam could not stop. I'm like, why?
What Does is Sam going listen on? To the show?
Not really.
Punch yourself, Sam. That was a stupid-ass commercial. That was dumb.
Yeah. I did not enjoy it at all.
No.
But people got a kick out of it.
Dude that was back in the 70s with bad
Andy Warhol,
video,
right?
Andy Warhol, right? With a bottle of ketchup, who doesn't put it on the actual burger, puts it on the side on a wrapper.
First that person, I thought it was you.
Thank you. And the Whopper with no Whopper fixings on it. It was just a burger patty on the bun.
Eat like Andy.
And then
Andy.
He dips it down there, takes a bite, and it's over. I'm going, what in the hell was that?
You just wasted your money. I thought Bud Light's commercials were great. I liked the kind of the blend between the Bud Light and the Game of Thrones. That was cool. If you don't watch Game of Thrones, you didn't get it.
Right, which is why I didn't.
But I thought that was pretty cool. And then some of the other Bud Light commercials were good. And my wife, like, we're third quarter. She goes, Budweiser hasn't run a commercial yet. I was like, no. They've had a couple of Bud Light ones. She goes, no, usually there's one Budweiser commercial with the horses. And it gets you in the feels. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's true. And then not too long after that, they ran that one. She was like, well, that was stupid, too. She's like, this whole night sucks.
Oh, man, and got Granado all fired up.
About what?
Because the fact that they were banging on Coors Light.
Oh.
Oh, man, on Twitter, he was having a field day. He carried it over to this morning.
That's smart.
He was genuinely ticked off.
Yeah, well.
I don't think he was.
No, I'm kidding. He was dramatic is what he was.
That's exactly the word I would have used, dramatic.
I think they were decent commercials overall. I think they all sucked. For the halftime show was garbage.
I think the trend is going to continue to go down, man. Don't expect good Super Bowl commercials going forward. We are so just used to commercials every day on our phones and on our laptops and online. I don't think these Super Bowl commercials are ever going to outweigh the regular commercials that you see throughout the year anymore. I really, every year it seems like, at least for the past two or three seasons, well, the Super Bowl commercials weren't that great. And I think that trend is going to continue to go down because we're so used to commercials. I can't get through a Facebook video 3 minutes long without a commercial, you know, popping up in the middle of it.
Right. I just kept monetizing the mediocrity. Like every time I saw, what is it, Bubbly versus Buble? And I'm going, you just paid millions of dollars to get your just on the market water drink that
I thought
way.
The same thing.
And then the two mermaid thing with the sharks from Shark Tank.
That was
the actual sharks,
clever, but
watching them. But then I saw that they were actually sponsoring a full quarter of the game and there was going to be more of this. I was like, we don't need that. We don't even know what it is. I thought it was a spoof at first. I was waiting for like a punchline, like it was going to change and something was going to take. I was like, that's a lot of money.
There was, to me, there was nothing positive about the game. The halftime show sucked. The commercial sucked. The game sucked. The outcome sucked.
CBS's coverage kind of sucked. With these, Romo was okay, but for the most part, even CBS's coverage.
I thought Romo did a great job. I thought Romo was literally the only good thing about it.
But overall, it was like Blair Witch on a lot of the camera angles. And they're like, let's take a look from our sky cam. And it was ground level. I'm like, well, it's not.
The first, the kickoff, the initial kickoff, the coverage, the camera that they used was weird. I was like, oh, they better not do this the
Nothing
whole
was stabilizing it. It was like, it was Blair Witch.
Yeah.
Was, yeah. So yeah, we can get to all that and a whole lot more. Something on your mind you want to get off your chest? Come on in. Join the show. HRP Lister Line, 713-780-3776. You can call. You can text that number. You can also reach us on Twitter where it's at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at The Producer Nick. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Segment number two of the big show. We're just getting started, and so hopefully you are in your post-lunch regiment. Taking us along for the ride. We appreciate you here on ESPN 97.5. We talked a little bit about the commercials prior to the first chance for us to step away for a second. But I did want to ask you guys.
Well, real quick, speaking of appreciation, before we get into anything else, I just want to say, I just want to give a shout out to everybody that came out to the Whataburger in Winnie, Texas on Saturday to hang out with myself and the ESPN 97.5 crew and Clutch and the Rockets. It was a good time, man. That I was surprised. You know, sometimes you do these road shows and whatnot, and you're not sure what the turnout's going to be. And Winnie showed up and showed out. It was packed for
most of the day. I was going to ask you. That's what I was getting to. I was going to ask you guys, you know, when you talk about like a Saturday morning appearance, but how did the Whataburger appearance go? Because from what I saw of the pictures that you were sending out, it looked like you had a pretty steady support.
So I got there at 9:30. I was supposed to be there from 9:30 to 11:30. Rockets showed up at 10, but people started getting there like 9:45, 9:50, and then I mean until 11 o'clock, the whole parking lot was just packed with people. And
did you run out of the glossies?
I was just, my job was to give tickets away. So the Rockets gave away 12 pairs of tickets.
Oh wow.
Plus like 4 bobbleheads, a couple of t-shirts, a James Harden autographed jersey.
Oh man.
Like, man, when they if you hear of an ESPN 97.5 appearance where the Rockets are going to be there, it's worth going.
No doubt. I thought you were going to say that you were walking around asking if anybody wanted fancy ketchup.
Koozie. No, like they gave away 12 pairs of tickets to the St. Patrick's Day game.
Very cool.
So, and that's a Sunday at like 8 o'clock. So, I mean, and that's right before spring break. So, man, it was a lot of fun. I got to meet a lot of folks. They gave away Whataburger for a year.
Damn.
Yeah, it was badass.
How much
did
you eat?
Because I wish I could have won.
I was going to say.
My God, I wish I would have won.
You said you
that.
Were sick Sunday for Super Bowl, but I'm thinking Saturday morning, the appearance kind of between breakfast and lunch.
No.
Did you double dip on a little Whataburger?
I bought Tosh and Drew some breakfast, and that's all we had. And then when I was done, I went and got to shoot my new gun with the Popes.
I saw the picture.
Popes were there. They showed up, and I'm losing my mind here. But they said, bring your gun just in case. So I did. And Lauren and Aaron showed
me. Are the Popes pretty well versed in the gun world?
Yes. So
they can pop a
Aaron
cap.
Is a dealer. So he sells like guns and ammo to police like, I guess, I don't know, law enforcement.
You probably mentioned that, but I hadn't. I just probably forgot.
You had mentioned that you could get guns from them, but I didn't know he was a dealer.
Yeah. And if you talk to the guy, you would not think he sells guns.
No, exactly right.
So then they show up with an arsenal, of course, in his back. He's got, at the back of his car, he's got all arsenal. And Lauren had brought a 410 to shoot, so that was fun. I mean, the only shotgun I shot was my 12-gauge once, and I didn't like it. It was too much. But, man, we had a blast. I got to shoot my new gun, got to shoot a bunch of other guns.
I was going to send that picture because my sister has befriended Lauren. Uh-huh. I was going to, like, all it's going to take is one time of you just saying something stupid to realize she could end you. You know, so be careful.
The Popes are the nicest people in the world. Man. They're the nicest people, and I had a great time. We sat there for an hour and a half just shooting.
Very cool.
Yeah, so it was much better. It was much more fun than my Sunday. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Much more fun.
Back to the game itself, though. Yep. We were talking about it. Look, and I'll give Romo... Even him, I don't think he was on his A game, but I think he was good. I didn't like CBS's coverage. So after the game, I flipped over to try and see what everybody else was doing. Let me just tell you this. You know how some people kind of fade a little bit and fade off into the sunset as broadcasters?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, Chris Berman. It has not only passed you by, it came in like a hurricane, and you need to just... They got Belichick at the one time when Belichick was conversational. He was funny. He was upbeat. He wanted to talk. Berman's average length of question had to be a minute and a half to 2 minutes. Twice, Belichick cut him off to try and answer it before he even got to the question part of the dialogue.
Drives me crazy. I hate long questions like that. There's a couple of people that after the Rockets games that do that, and I cannot stand a loaded question. Like, they have to have enough memory to answer every aspect of your question. I hate loaded questions.
And with a lot of pauses, Barry.
Oh, see. Can I just give a shout-out to Dave Tepper? Because when I first got into radio, the few interviews we would get on a Sunday, he would listen to them. He was kind enough to listen to our show. And then he would give me advice. And one of the first things he said is just ask the damn question.
Yep.
Don't beat around the bush. Don't talk a lot. Ask the question and shut up. Get to the point. The question should be a lot shorter than the answer.
It's what I appreciate about Dan Patrick. Listen to the way he asks questions. Gets to the damn point.
Yeah.
So he was trying to get to, like, Belichick to be honest about Brady, but he was like, Coach, I mean, you talk about a guy, six championships, and, you know, everything he's done now, and he's been with you for a long time. Let's just say that. And he just kept going. And Belichick finally went, you know, in the case of Tom is he just at big moments, he stepped up big. And everything. It was like, thank you. Just tell him to shut the. So I flipped over after that. And I was like, well, I'll go to the NFL Network because I'll see real players talking about the game, giving some real. Well, they had the McCourty brothers on. So the McCourty brothers are there and they got their kids. And they're giving some. They had their mom on, and Dion gave up his mic to get the mom on to talk about what it's like to have two sons playing on the same team to win a Super Bowl and everything like that. And all of a sudden, after some really good answers, Jason McCourty goes, "Did you just fart on my leg?"
To
his kid, and he stood up and like walked off the freaking away from the chair. And I'm like, "Come on, bro! It's not like cable. You can't cuss. And you can't. You're just gonna get up and blow an interview because your kid." Tooted on your leg?
Maybe he did more than toot.
It's possible it was but still.
Maybe she pooped.
I was like, man.
If Taylor pooped on your leg in the middle of the interview, what you going
to
do?
Tell her to be quiet till we were done.
Be still.
Yeah, don't be giving that whole daddy just went pee-pee poo-poo stuff. Just hold on till we're done.
Oh, I watched none of that. I didn't watch any pregame because I didn't care. I didn't care about the pomp and the circumstance and the interviews. I cared about none of that. At 5 o'clock, I turned the game on the CBS pregame.
Yeah,
I didn't watch it. I mean, I was on my laptop doing stuff, and
you might have been listening to it a little bit. That's what I did. Right. I turned it on about 5:05.
Lisa had it on in the house, but I kept going, looking at the clock, going, "My God, how long is the pregame show?" And then it's supposed to start at 5, but then their real pregame show starts for a half hour. I'm like, let's just get to it. Yeah. It was way too long.
Yeah, I didn't. I was not. I didn't care. I'm like, I was coveraged out.
I was completely
just ready
with
for
you.
The game.
Yeah, completely with
so
you.
So glad I didn't
and
see Chris
And on the
Chris
NFL Network, I want you to do this the rest of the show, by the way. Okay. I just want you to go, if you have a nickname, go with it. Otherwise, just go with Barry. Because the one thing I couldn't stand, too, with Deion Sanders was, Prime. Tell Prime what you was feeling when you were getting into that fourth quarter when it was getting big. Prime's here, baby. Let me hear what you got to tell Prime.
He would do that?
Third person. I'm like, just ask the question. What were you feeling? Oh, tied at three going into the fourth quarter. No, Prime's here. Tell Prime what you got going. Gosh. Come on, Dion. Stop it. All right, so we're going to continue to roll on.
Let's talk some actual football now.
Yeah, let's talk about the game itself. Break down the high-scoring and unbelievably exciting affair that was the Super Bowl yesterday. And if you have comments you want to get in, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, off to a good start. Half hour in, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, 2.5 to go. As Barry said, we can get down to some actual football, what there was of it, unless you are a defensive aficionado, in which case I hope you find a hobby.
Yeah, Steelers fan Juan was like, I love the game. Well, you're an idiot. That was a terrible game. That was not fun. 8 punts in a row by the Rams offense, and you loved that game.
Perhaps fans of defense.
You know, these are the same jamokes that sit there and go, SEC football is great when it's 6-3. No, that's not fun. That is not fun. I don't care. And you can save you. You guys sound like the old guys on the Muppets text too, you dummy. Like, we're just telling it like it is. It sucked. Everything about last night sucked. Everything. Nothing was good.
I get the football aficionado point of view. But here's the thing. That's fine throughout the regular season. But if you ask the networks, if you ask the people that really, really are charged with evaluating and trying to put a product on broadcast television and otherwise, they will tell you that is the worst possible scenario that could have happened.
They got the team that they wanted. I'm sure the NFL wanted the Patriots and the broadcast, you know, the TV stations wanted the Patriots. But yeah, you're right. I don't think they wanted that.
New York in there too. You're right, because you got LA and you got Boston. That's huge.
Yeah.
By the way, what was up with the America the Beautiful song? Did y'all see that?
I did notice.
With the you actually commented on the twin girls that sang it.
That was terrible. I thought
they actually sang well, but...
Oh, no.
Okay.
It sounded awful. I was like, ooh, I don't know what this sounds like. One time I stepped on my cat's tail.
Oh, wow.
And that's going that route. It sounded like. I'm going to save this other one. But the national anthem was so-so. It wasn't that great either. The halftime show I didn't think was good.
I was really mad.
Adam Levine taking his shirt off was...
Yeah, that was...
It was like, really, bro? Okay, we get it. You worked out. You earned that body. Just leave your shirt on. You didn't need to do that. Somebody on my Facebook fan page, because I posted this picture, this dude took a screenshot of Adam Levine, is it Levine?
Levine, yeah.
With his shirt off. And this dude, he's kind of fat, and he took a picture of himself in the mirror, and he wrote Illinois, because Adam Levine has California tattooed across there.
Yeah.
It's just this fat dude that says Illinois. So I put that on my Facebook fan page, and some dude goes, why does Adam Levine look like a bathroom stall?
It's pretty good.
That is so funny, man. It's true. Like, and then people were like, when did he get all these prison tats? Like, it doesn't look... But as far as the game itself, mm-hmm. I will say this. I felt like it was both teams up front defensively were stout. I mean, there was no doubt about it. And then I was kind of, I wasn't gloating, but I was smiling because, man, Wade Phillips got a lot of love on the broadcast.
Oh, he did, especially at the end of that second quarter.
Yeah. But I mean, the missed field goal, you thought, uh-oh, that could be big. Well, it wasn't. But 3 quarters in, you're like, man, this could be 6-0. And they still, if they get, you know, INT for a touchdown or something, could be down a point. Literally most of my notes, I swear to God, this is my note for the third quarter. Boring. That's literally the only note I put for the third quarter was boring. I talked a little bit about the front four and Goff. There was a play 3rd and 2 that there wasn't a lot open, but he takes a sack and he really puts them out of field goal range for the most part. And you got to get rid of that ball, man. He just had an off game. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that Belichick had a genius game plan going in. And the Patriots as a whole talked about afterwards, look, we just focused on stopping the run. We figured if we could stop the run, which is what they do really well, and make Goff beat us, we can fool him. And we can take him out of his game plan as well. But it all starts up front. And Tony Romo had mentioned it several times that they had great lane discipline up front. They set the edge really well. There was nothing for the Rams to do, and the secondary played well, even with Chung getting hurt and going out. I just thought that at the end of the day, I felt like more than anything, Sean McVay got outcoached.
And he admitted it. He admitted it after the game. So credit to him that he could take the L and he could realize, look, I could have done better. It's his first Super Bowl, and he's a young guy, and he's got some things to learn, obviously. But on the flip side, you may hate him at press conferences. You may hate the fact that he doesn't like to talk and he seems kind of arrogant. But Bill Belichick is a genius, man.
So good.
And you know what? All of his coaches get jobs because of how good he is. And the fact of the matter is, he was willing to pass off everything that he did defensively. But let's be honest, and at least Romo was calling it what it was. The fact that he designed that and schemed that game plan, the fact that he was the one that the best way to slow down an offense that we're talking about was the second best in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And we know that the coach is in his ear until the 15-second mark was he didn't start to run audible shifts and moving guys around till after the 15-second mark because he knew a young, inexperienced quarterback was going to crap his pants because he couldn't rely on the coach. And when he was trying to audible and change the play, so that's when the Rams decided, well, we're not coming out of the huddle till it's late so that they can't keep moving around. But that actually only hindered them more. I thought Belichick was a genius. If you could have given the MVP I would have given the MVP to Bill Belichick.
Are we good with Edelman getting the MVP?
He was basically involved from the very beginning. I mean, they were doubling him. They really had no answer for Edelman whatsoever. Right. I'm okay with it.
Are you going for the PED aspect?
No, even though I think it's quite funny that I was reading an article about that where they said that the USA Today had an opinion piece about Julian Edelman, you know, shouldn't be the MVP. He shouldn't even be playing because he cheated and he used PEDs and no one even mentions it. No one cares about it because it's football. If this was baseball, you know, that people are talking about now that this game might have put him in the Hall of Fame. If this was baseball, they'd be like, no, you cheated. You never make the Hall of Fame.
Baseball wouldn't allow him to play in it.
That was what the article talked about, which I thought was a good thing. But let me just give you some – I'm going to make the case for some other people. Because I feel like the – here's the thing, though. I feel like once Romo and Jim Nance kind of start really pushing the narrative that he's the MVP or having an MVP-type game, nobody wants to go against that. But and you're not going to give it to somebody on the losing team. But if you are, you probably had to give it to Brandon Cooks, who averaged more yards per catch than Julian Edelman did. Edelman had 10 catches for 141 yards. Oops, he averaged 14.1 yards per catch. Right. Rob Gronkowski averaged 14.5 yards. Had the big catch that really put the game
away.
That
was huge
to get them down. Get them down for that touchdown. Edelman had the third highest average per catch. He just had more volume. He was targeted more, and a lot of that had to do with the fact that they felt like they could cover him one-on-one, which was a mistake. Sonny Michel, 18 carries, 94 yards, averaged 5.2 yards a carry, and had the big touchdown that sealed the deal. I don't think he's getting enough love.
You know what? I thought all along in my mind Edelman was going to get the MVP unless things changed drastically. I will say, of the people that you named, if Gronkowski scores on that catch where he literally, if they'd have replayed it, it was close to where he was touched as opposed to when he got actually ruled down and where he should have been. I think because of all the innuendo going back and forth about whether he's going to retire or not, and because of the fact that he was part of that last drive when they really got their only touchdown and put it together, I thought he would get a lot of love and he might take votes away from Edelman. But I never wavered because from the Cooks factor, a lot of it was when they were really behind and he got a couple of big plays there in the final drive. And I'm going, okay. But he was Brady's safety blanket all day from the get-go, especially because it got off such a rocky start with the pick that you're like, whoa, wait a minute now. And then he settled in by settling down and really just milking the one matchup that he knew he could trust that he had. And that got them through to a point where the Rams were going to kind of self-destruct a little bit and they were able to do what they did.
And the other thing is before Gronkowski got that big catch, the three plays prior to that were the exact same Edelman up the middle. Three passes to Edelman, back to back to back, that helped set up the Gronk catch, that helped set up Barkley to get that touchdown. That's what made that drive, was the fact that they got three passes back to back to back to Edelman, exact same play, and they were able to
first play
gain so much yardage on
that. Was Gronk on a, and that's all Brady. Gronk with a linebacker on him, and Brady puts the perfect pass over the top on the sideline. Gronk catches that. Then you're right. Then he feeds Burkhead and Edelman, gets down the field a little bit, and then throws an absolute dime to Gronkowski.
The window he threw that in
was crazy. It was unreal. And the fact that Gronkowski had to run into the window.
Yeah.
So from an MVP standpoint, I kind of figured he was going to get it. But I know a lot of people are banging on the fact that he was suspended the first four games of the season for PEDs. And you're right. Now, all of a sudden, the discussion is Julian Edelman is a slam dunk Hall of Famer. And I'm going, really?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you guys want to guess or we can do this, but he now is the third most yards receiving in Super Bowl history behind two pretty decent names.
Mm-hmm.
But even still, it's like the Robert Horry factor. He's performed well in the playoffs and stuff, right, and he's won some rings, but has he done enough in his career to say, this guy's a Hall of Fame receiver?
Do you think of him as has he ever been an elite receiver? As
I think one of the top five? When he came in his first couple of years, he was a budding star. I don't know if he was ever a wide receiver one, but he had some hype, and he was putting up some decent numbers. He also had, I believe he had a pretty good quarterback at that time. But now he's behind Jerry Rice and Lynn Swann for third all-time in wide receiver receiving yards in Super Bowl history. It also helps that he's been there a lot.
Yeah.
But those are pretty big names. But I get it. But you can put Robert Horry's ring collection alongside Bill Russell and very few others. But does that make him a Hall of Famer when his regular season career averages are like 7-4-2?
No.
I don't think
so. And
that's
the thing. If you've never even been considered a top three receiver in the league in any one year,
right,
how could you be considered for a Hall? You've never even been, like you said, he was maybe a one.
Right.
I don't think he really was ever considered that, was he?
No, he had like hype, like he was going to be a one.
Right.
I don't think he ever was a one.
That's why I would say no. I mean, I can think of a ton of receivers. Like I've pulled up his stats, right, for his career.
Mm-hmm.
He's never had double digit in touchdowns. He's had 1,000 yards or more twice.
That's it?
That's it.
And that is, you're right, because that's a benchmark for wide receivers. Get 1,000 yards in a year.
The most touchdowns he's had in a season is 7 back in 2015. He obviously missed all of 2017 with that injury. Was it Achilles? Which is, you know, interesting when you're trying to come back from an Achilles at his age, and now you get popped
with
PEDs.
Then you get popped with PEDs, yep. Yep.
Oh, no cheating going on there. That was a total mistake.
Not trying to speed up the recovery, are you?
1,056 yards in 2013 and 1,106 yards in 2016. Other than that, you know, he missed a lot of games because of injury, or he just wasn't involved. Like his first 4 years in the league, these are his yards total for the year: 359, 86, 34, and 235 yards. He didn't even have 1,000 yards total in his first four seasons combined. He didn't even hit 700 yards. This dude is not a Hall of Famer. I'm
with you. I would have never even fathomed it. Nate Burleson on the broadcast was the first one where I actually stopped. I was walking through the living room, and they were going, you know, guy by guy on the table, the dais, and going, what are your thoughts on the game? And everybody said there's – and Nate Burleson goes, I mean, Julian Edelman, slam dunk, Hall of Famer. I was like,
it's ridiculous.
What did he just say?
Ridiculous.
So do you guys think that he won't get – you guys don't think he should be a Hall of Famer?
No.
And he won't get in? Or do you think he's not a Hall of Famer and he might get in?
I think he may get in.
I think he might get in too.
I don't think he'll get in.
The hype train may take him in.
Especially if he has more Super Bowl appearances. I think that would help. Mm. Even if he doesn't do too well in the regular season, if he has a bunch of Super, like if Brady
I mean, plays. But that's like saying, what was his name? That defensive, basketball's not a good. But it's like saying somebody on the Spurs, not Robert
Bruce Bowen.
Yeah, it's like saying somebody like that's a Hall of Famer because he had so many rings with the Spurs or something like that. I mean, that doesn't, you can't just give it to him because they're there. I mean, he's obviously riding the coattails of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He's never been the best receiver on his team. There's always been somebody better than him.
Here's the other kicker for you, too. Here's the other kicker. When people look at New England, what's the first thing they say about an extra reason why Brady's so good?
Because he never had a great receiver.
Aside from Randy Moss, he never had a big-time receiver.
Yep, and Gronk.
So there's a knock, right? That's not actually a feather in the cap of Julian Edelman. So,
exactly.
Well, and by the way, before we get to break, Lance on Twitter said, I thought Gilmore was the MVP. I can see how you might think the way he covered people, but from an interception perspective, that thing was a lame duck just quacking away, ready to be picked out of the air. So, All right, we'll continue to roll on. Mito wants to talk a little bit about Super Bowl. If you want to join the show and hit the HRNP listener line, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, or hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Still hour number one, 3 hour show. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. We appreciate you taking us along for the ride on a Monday after Super Bowl that was so enthralling.
I watched the Kitten Bowl and it was better.
The what?
The Kitten Bowl on the Hallmark Channel.
Oh,
that's as bad as those people that flip over at halftime, as bad as it was to watch WWE.
No, I watched the Kitten Bowl and I didn't watch it. But I feel like the Kitten Bowl, I feel like it
would have been more
better.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Kitten Bowl, had to just get your fix during halftime? No?
My fix of kittens?
Never mind. You are a cat lover.
I have a cat. How about that?
See, Nick, it's changing. When there were two in the picture,
when they're old and they're pooping all over the place, they're not as lovable.
And forgetting where they live.
Here's the thing. You guys formulated that. Just like we formulated Fat Nick out of thin air, the whole Barry is a cat lover and hates hugs thing was something that was formulated and not exactly true. In fact, Saturday, I took a picture with a listener. And somebody was like, oh, that side hug must really have been uncomfortable. I was like, that's just a thing. Like, that's not a real, I don't mind taking pictures with people. And I will fist bump because, you know, people do touch their penises and don't wash their hands. But other than that, that hug stuff, that's not. So I'm not a cat. I have cats. Well, I had cats. I have a cat. It's more the wife than mine. But
we do have a tendency to just create bits that become real life to the listener.
And wear them out. Nick can attest to that.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
The listeners especially can sometimes not let it go.
No doubt. No question about it.
What happened to
Mito wants to get in here, and he's been waiting the longest anyway. Mito, what's up?
What up, man? Barry, Nick, Joel, let's go ahead and have a moment of silence for this year's Super Bowl. Well, that's enough of that. My question is, I've seen an ESPN reporter saying that the Texans might be able to make it to the next Super Bowl, but I'm thinking that it's more Brady and Belichick Super Bowls until they retire, man. What do y'all think about that?
I don't know if I would say it's necessarily a Brady and Belichick thing. I think each year that goes by, the likelihood, and I know that they weren't supposed to get there this year. I didn't think they would get there this year. But there's a lot of teams that were pretty close. I mean, that should have been the Saints instead of the Rams. And then who knows how that Super Bowl goes, because it's not Sean McVay's, making the mistakes, or a young Jared Goff. It's Drew Brees. It's a two-headed monster in the backfield that can run the ball. So you don't know how. I'm not suggesting that the Saints win the Super Bowl, but do they lay an egg like the Rams and put up 3 points for the whole team that's inexperienced? I think they show, three guys on the Rams had Super Bowl experience?
I think it was a handful or
it
less.
Was five.
Yeah. I'm not ready to anoint them every year. I know it feels like you should. There's a lot of teams on the come in the NFL.
Kansas City in their own conference.
Exactly. Exactly.
With the MVP, with another year of experience. Because you hit it on the head. I mean, as good as Sean McVay has been, and as how everybody wants to get the next Sean McVay showed what he lacked, which was experience in the Super Bowl. When you have 2 weeks to prepare, and you're preparing for a guy that has obviously numerous Super Bowls under his belt. Sean Payton, to your point, been there, done that, so he's got the experience to kind of know what to expect.
And, I mean, don't sleep on the fact that where did the Rams excel at? Defensively. And their coordinator has Super Bowl experience.
And you said that.
41 years in the NFL. So Wade Phillips and his game plan was rock solid. If you give up 13 points in the Super Bowl with that kind of offense, you should win.
Yep.
Like, you should win.
On the flip side, Patriots defense has to get just as much love too, holding absolutely. That defense down, right?
Absolutely, holding down that Rams offense. Absolutely,
absolutely daring them to throw the ball. They're and that's like, where
the,
running.
I mean, the Rams offense made Tom Brady look pedestrian. Yeah, Julian Edelman got off a little bit. I mean, it wasn't like gangbusters. There were no NFL records set offensively. Obviously, there were a lot of. In fact, Connor Hogan, my buddy on Twitter, said the punters were the two MVPs. Probably so.
Yeah, the first record to be broken was the longest punt.
Yeah, but. So give credit to both sides of the defense, both defensive coordinators and everything. But I think the difference in the two is that the Rams just couldn't get it figured out.
And the
out.
Other thing that I said, I picked the Rams. And I did not see this happening. But I said if there's one way that the Rams could falter, it's a young quarterback on a big stage that might get overwhelmed. I didn't expect it to happen. I didn't expect it to happen like that. And I didn't expect that offense with so many other ways they could pick it up if he was struggling. To just lay an egg like that.
I want to know what the hell is the deal with Todd Gurley.
I was just going to get to that.
What the hell is going on?
That's 10 carries. He's hurt. He's hurt. They're only giving him 10 carries. The guy's hurt. He was never healthy enough to play. And what made me so mad is that the Rams, how predictable can you be running the ball all the time on first down? Now it's 2nd and 10 and you have to throw the ball. Why are you running the ball? Why are you being that predictable, well, McVay? You're not known to be like that.
They called Bill O'Brien because they wanted the insight on how to be a Patriot. To be like,
I didn't understand that. And I understand he doesn't have Super Bowl experience, and he's obviously dealing with a 24-year-old quarterback who does not have Super Bowl experience. But, man, decision-making? Like,
and don't underestimate how big it is when during the year McVay's in his headset till the 15-second mark pre-snap that Belichick took that into consideration and took it away from him. And that's when he started to use all of his different switches and things like that defensively and shifts. That screwed with his head. But he also made some good throws that were dropped. But the Gurley thing to me, this is like the story of the defensive back for the Patriots that didn't play. We found out a couple weeks later. Whether he was hurt or he violated some team rules over the course of time. But they also played, if he was hurt or there was something going on, they played Belichick thinking it was going to be them playing Belichick to Belichick. Like, let's not admit he's wrong. They got a game plan for him. They got to assume they're going to get a heavy dose of Gurley. Let's not tell anybody he's hurt. And then he plays like two plays in the first half.
If he's hurt, then he got 10 carries. That was more than CJ Anderson.
I just said that. I said he had, yeah, but you're Gurley. You should have more than 10 carries.
Yeah, and also in the first half, he had the one to start the game and then didn't have another, I don't think, the entire first half.
Keep in mind, though, I mean, there were only so many plays. This was a lot of 3 and outs, 4 and out, you know, 4 or 5. There weren't many first downs to be had for this Rams offense. So the fact that they had 18 carries total speaks a lot to the New England defense and how well they played up front. That's just, I don't even know. It's just baffling to me.
It is. And if I'm a Rams fan, I hope that in the next couple of weeks we find out something was up.
I think you will.
You
he's
just
on the
gave
bike.
Him all that money, and you just made sure he's your long-term. And this guy's been such a huge part of why you're where you're at. And he just, in two straight games, because he was awful against the Saints, yeah, too. To just disappear in the biggest games of the year, that just doesn't seem like Todd Gurley.
And then you have to eat that crow where you're like, well, I taught Sonny Michel everything, yep, he knows, and I was his mentor, and well, oops. He went for 94 yards and averaged 5.2 a carry, and you did just the opposite.
When the student becomes the teacher, and he has more hardware than you, you probably shouldn't be talking anymore.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's also, by the way, a bad look for the NFL, the way the season ended. To go from the Saints debacle to the fact that whether you thought you're a defensive fan of football or not, to have that low-scoring affair and the way it all went down, people are just like not too pleased with the way the season ended as an NFL fan.
You can't be happy.
Nope.
I mean, you can't be. That was an ugly game to decide the best team in football.
If the best thing to come out of Super Bowl Sunday was the NFL 100 commercial, that's not a good look.
Yeah.
Or if you're a Patriots fan.
Yeah.
All right, hour number one. In the books, 2 hours still to go with the big show. That means plenty more for you to get in on. 713-780-3776. Give us a call, text, or tweet. Back with hour number two. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. So get down to seat and jump around.